Good afternoon, my family, my church members. I haven't seen you now for a while. It's been a while. I just miss to see everyone. Today is such a privilege for me to be here just to share the word of God. And I want to say thank you to my prayer team. And I know I have a group of people that are praying for me. And I have my church praying for me. So when you have so many people praying on your behalf, you just feel confident that the Lord is with you. And I want to say thank you as well to Pastor Mitch, who invited me today to share with you the word of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we just want to praise you and to thank you because you are God, and there is no other one like you. Father, we come to you because you are the one who has the bread of life. This morning, we are hungry and we are thirsty. And you ask us to come to you. Come to me. I will make you fishers of men. So this morning, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will hide me behind your cross. And I'm praying that your name will be lifted up, that your name will be glorified. Lord Jesus, I come to you as Tia was praying. He was praying for cleansing. It's the same thing today. I am praying for cleansing, Lord, that you will touch my lips, that you will speak through me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So my question today is, what does service mean to you? You know, sometimes if I just make a sentence, you know, like make a statement, I don't give you time to think. But now I'm giving you the time to think about what does service mean to you. To me, service is a response to God's love. You know, because of what God has done for you. God loves you so much, you could do nothing else but to serve. Our first verse that I would like to share with you is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 up to 39. I will give you time to open the word of God because the word of God is powerful. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." That means with everything. I remember, Pastor, I have a sermon all in. This is another all in. You shall serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And this is the first and great commandment. You know, from the love of God, everything step in. Because if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you cannot serve. Remember my definition of service? Is a response to God's love. You start to serve because of what God has done for you. If you love God, then you can proceed to verse 39. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law and the prophets. If you have love for God, you see, love keep coming. If you have love for God, then you will be able to serve. Because your service, the motives of your service, it will be love. If you remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is saying you could even burn yourself. If you don't have love, you have nothing. So this morning, our prayer is for God to fill us with his love. What does service really mean to you? So Jesus has called each one of us for service. Let's turn together in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. This is already there on the screen for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. You see, your service is meant to glorify God. Whatever time you are thinking about service, thinking about glory to God. For you see, brethren, your calling, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him who are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glorify, let him glory in the Lord. So whatever you do, whatever service that you are giving right now, everything must be for the glory of God. God has chosen each one of us for service. And he said in his word, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. You know, I teach primary Sabbath school this morning in my class. We were singing, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Before you can be fishers of men, you need to follow the Lord. You need to follow Jesus. So this morning, I'm here really to share my testimony. For some reason, I've never shared this testimony with anyone before. This Wednesday, I was in pastor's office, and I was just like explaining, you know, what I was going to do in my sermon. As I said, I tell him my testimony. He was sitting at the end of his chair. And then he told me, Magdala, I think that's the one you should be sharing. So this morning, I will be sharing my testimony with you. So I was born in Haiti. So where is Haiti? Haiti is in the Caribbean. So we are really close to Jamaica. Sometimes we say Haiti, people doesn't know, but I want to say close to Jamaica, so people will know. Or the Dominican Republic, because Haiti is one big island with the Dominican Republic. So I was born in a family of 12 children. So what you could imagine, you have 12 brothers and sisters. You know, I have six brothers, I am in it, six sisters, 12 in total. So when I grew up in Haiti, I have a lot of poverty around me. You know, I will see children sleeping in boxes, and I will see little children on the street, and I will see so much, and my heart used to be moved by all this. And I remember I made a commitment to God, and I say, God, because I was poor myself, very poor, and I say, God, if you help me, when I am better, I will go back and help children in need. But you see, I grew up with my family. We didn't know about the Sabbath. We didn't know about the seventh-day Sabbath. We didn't know anything about it in our community. All of us will go to church on Sunday. So my family, they were like leaders in the church. So one day, we have a missionary guy who came in. He was doing door-to-door ministry. This is why I love door-to-door ministry. So he will go from house to house. So one day, he came to my house. But at that time, I remember very well, I was probably 14 years old. So he didn't come for me. He came for my family, like my father, my mother, or my big sisters. People were in the family. I was just passing by. I was not like sitting and having a Bible study. So just by the way I heard he said about the Sabbath. I said, the Sabbath, what is that? Then I went, but my family didn't accept the message. For them, it was something strange. The Seventh-day Adventist Sabbath is a strange message. So the guy left and went to other people in the neighborhood, but he went to my grandmother's house. So all my aunties, they were there listening to him. So one day I went to my auntie's house, and I asked them about the Sabbath. I said, is the Sabbath? It's in the Bible. And she said, yes, it is in the Bible. And I tell her, show me. So my auntie opened Hebrews chapter 4. And I look and I say, wow, the Sabbath is in the Bible for real. Remember, I'm only 14 years old. And I run and find a calendar. And I say, which day of the week is the seventh day? And when I look, oh, Sunday is the first day. And then I went back, oh, Saturday is a Sabbath day. And then I made up my mind from there on, and I'm going to observe the seventh day Sabbath and follow the Lord. But I didn't know what was coming for me. Because remember, my family, they are leaders in the church. That will be a shame, especially the Seventh-day Adventist message we didn't know at all in our community. So I find out that this missionary guy was holding meeting not too far from us. So I decided I'm going to sneak and go to those meetings. So my father find out that I was going to those meetings. He became very angry and upset, and he called me. Say, Magdala, if you go to this meeting, I'll come and drag you from the meeting and bring you home. So I didn't pay any attention. I thought he was joking. And I keep going to those meetings. So one night, my father went to another community and get advice from his brother to know what to do with me. But I didn't know all this was happening. So in Haiti, we don't have electricity. Remember, we are 12 in the family, no electricity. You go to bed early. You got a little lamp that gives light to the entire house. So the light was off. Everybody was in bed. My dad wasn't there. So we were sleeping in the middle of the night. Somebody just come to my bed. Remember, I was 14. Just grabbed me out of my bed and start hitting me. And I scream. You know how a girl scream? A 14-year-old girl. I scream. When I scream, all my family members gather. So my grandma, who didn't live too far from us, was screaming from her house because she thought something had happened to my family. All my aunties screaming from the house, coming to my house. We are a small community and we know each other. So other neighbor who heard a noise in my family thought we had somebody die. All the neighborhood gather in my family house. When they come in, they find out that my father was beating me because I wanted to commit myself to the Lord. So that night was a very traumatic night for me because the entire community was there. We had to give an explanation what was happening. So my father fled the scene because it was like too much for him. And I remember I felt a feeling of isolation because I felt so bad for my dad because he's a good man. You know, he just didn't want me to go in that faith because he didn't understand. I remember, you know, when everybody was gone and our family and I returned back to bed. And in the morning when I wake up, I was bruised up. I was not a big person. I was pretty thin when I was 14. I remember very well. If you touch me, you can touch my bone. You know, in the morning, I was like, it was really very painful. And people were advising me to quit, as it were. It was too much for my family. I'm bringing like shame to my family. They were asking me to quit. Then I remember that verse in the Bible. I would like you to turn with me in Matthew 10. Verses 37 to 39. I like going to the Word of God because it does something to you when you open the words and you read it for yourself. So we'll be reading in Matthew 10, verses 37 to 39. During that time when my father noticed that I was not going to give up, he told me, I'm going to disown you. I'm not going to pay your school. You're going to be out of the house. Then the Lord bring to me that passage in his word in Matthew 10, verses 37 to 39. So this testimony can be for you. If you are trying to make a decision for the Lord and then you're going through hard time, go to Matthew 10, verses 37 to 39, and this is going to help you. I will read. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for me will find it. So when I read these verses, I make up my mind. I remember it was during the Easter season, all this thing was happening to me. I remember I used to cry a lot. I used to be crying and crying because it hurt me so bad. Remember, I was the only one in the family that making that big decision as a teenager, and everybody else was against me. So it was really hard. I used to cry all the time because I know I have to make that decision for God. I remember one night I go to sleep. A big thing was on the floor, like a pan or a big bucket, I don't know how to say it, was on the floor. It was full with water, and I was about to lift it up. And then invisible hands grabbed the other side of the bucket and lifted it. And then I wake up. Now, before I wake up, and I said in the dream, when you commit yourself to the Lord is with you. So when I wake up and I say, what? It doesn't matter what my dad will do to me. It doesn't matter. I am going to follow the Lord through baptism. And so I did. So I hide because they cannot. My dad will go and get me. If he knew I was going to get baptized, he will come. I know my dad very well. So what I did, I hide. I've told the people I will be coming for baptism. It was in another city. I have to take a bus. You know, I had to take a bus to go to another city. I was 14. So I went all by myself and get baptized. And then come back home with the same clothing, I went out. So when I was back home, they didn't know. I tried to dry my hair really dry. When I went home, they didn't know I did get baptized. But unfortunately, somebody saw me and went to my mom. He said, "Mom, congratulations. Your daughter get baptized." Well, I was so shocked when my mom come back to me and told me. But she told me, even though you get baptized, do not go to church. But I keep going, and I keep going to church. But shortly after, I went to live in the dorm in the city because we live like in the country area. So I went to the dorm for school. I was going to be in ninth grade. That's the time I went to the dorm. So when I go to the dorm, I'm going to be there for 3 months. That means there will be no church, nothing. I'm going to be there, and I'm saying to myself, what am I going to do? I am a new convert. You know, a new convert, you need to be fed. So I'm going to be in the dorm for 3 months, and I'm not going to be able to go to church. I remember the first Sabbath in the dorm. I went down, we are in the third floor. I went down, and I cleaned a classroom on Friday. I cleaned the classroom, and that was going to be my worship area. That's going to be my church. And I started to worship at that time all by myself. And after that, I feel I need to start sharing the gospel. You know that zeal that you have, like you just get baptized, you have a zeal for the Lord. And I say, I need to start sharing the gospel. And I start going from to the student one by one. And I sat, I was like afraid, but yet I had that thing in my bone. I have to preach the word, and I went to each student and give them a Bible study. There is no student in that dorm from the people from my grade up to the last grade. And I will go to them and I give them Bible study. And I remember this vividly. One of the students, it was one of two senior students. I can see her standing in front of me right now. She told me, "Magdala, because of your testimony, because of the way of your attitude in the dorm, I am going to be a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not able to take the decision right now for the Lord, but I know." And as I'm preparing my sermon, I was praying for her. I said, "God," I can't even remember her name because she was a big person comparing to me. And she said, "I'm going to follow the Lord." and I can't wait to see really this happen. So as I go and start sharing my testimony with the student, about 10 of them became Seventh-day Adventists right there in the dorm. So at the end of the 3 months period while we were there, so I had to write letters to churches in the countryside to say, you know, this person, I accepted the Lord. I have done baptismal class. So when everybody come back, they were all baptized. So we were like 10 people in the dorm. Remember when I started, it was me. And at the end, it was 10 persons. So those students, what happened? So that each one of them will go to their family and they'll start preaching the gospel. And I will tell you, each one of them, each student, it was like one seed I put in the ground. When it spring up, like 10 more or more coming up. So each student went home and their family get baptized. And I was telling Pastor Mitch about Micheline on Wednesday. Micheline family, everybody get baptized. Father, mother, brothers and sister, everybody get baptized. Another one, Marie-Ange, was with us in the dorm. She went home. Everybody get baptized. Mother, brother, sister. Now they have a big ministry at Georgia. They call it TW Ministry. This spring up from the dorm where I was. I didn't do it. God did it through me. Remember, service is about giving glory to God. So, well, at the end of my time in the dorm, so I was like in 12th grade, and then I left the dorm, but the ministry did continue. So I was back home, as I've told you. I was born in a very poor family. So my parents couldn't send me to school. And I wanted to be a nurse. In Haiti, you have more students than school. You know? You have like one school, about like 5,000 people want to go to that school. And they want like 40 people for that promotion. So that means it's so difficult for you to attend the nursing school in Haiti. So I remember I had a friend of mine that was going to Jamaica. And then my friend told me, Magdala, if you have faith in God, you probably could travel elsewhere to be a nurse. I remember from that word she said, and I said, God, please help me. I remember I was praying in that time for God to open a place away for me. So I had a brother. He's not in the church that I attended in Haiti, from another church. My father knew him. So he agreed to pay my school fee. That brother from the church paid 4 years of school fee for me so that I can be a nurse. You see, Erica was talking about service a while ago. So I was so blessed to even hear, you know, this testimony of Erica. So this guy has helped me to be a nurse so that I can come out of poverty. So when I finished, I was in Jamaica. God opened the way for me to travel to England. So I worked in England for about 3 years. Remember, I had made a promise to God. I said, God, if you help me, I am going to return and help children in need. But you know, when life changed for you, you're not poor anymore. You have a house, you get married, you have a child. And then things are good. Sometimes you forget about your promise to God. It was a winter in England. It's like God was coming, knock, 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 remember me. Remember, you have made a promise to me. It's like, oh, yeah, I remember. So I traveled because of that from England, and I am here today so that I can do my mission in Haiti. So we're going to have those slides about the orphanage. So I'm going to show you what we've done. So this orphanage started following the earthquake of 2010 because of the promise I have made to God. And I've told God, if you help me, I am going to return and help children in need. So in 2010, we have a terrible earthquake that happened to Haiti. About 250,000 people died and many more injured in the earthquake. So I decided, myself and a group of believers, we went and we started an orphanage. Those children that you see here, pretty beautiful, they were tiny when we have them. So we have them when they are between 5 to 10 years old. Now, remember, we start from 2010. Now we are 2020. They've been with us for 10 years. So those kids, they are all Seventh-day Adventists. This is another way, remember? This is another way as you serve them, as you care for them. Then you bid them to follow the Lord. So those kids, they have good intention. They want to be doctors. They want to be nurses. They want to be teachers, you know? So God is the one that cares for those children. So apart from the orphanage, so in Haiti, as I said, we have more students than school. The Lord has opened ways for us to open a nursing school. So this year, next year, we're going to have the graduating class. Can you put, please, the slide for the nursing school? There we go. This is the graduating class of 2021. Those girls you see there, we invite them to go up to the school. They cannot pay not even $20. Remember when I was going to school, I had $20 in my pocket and somebody paid the rest of my school fee. Those girls, they don't even have $20 to pay. Everything just is the Lord that provide way for us to help them. So next year, all of those girls, they will be graduated and they will have a profession. In Haiti, the way you help people to come out of poverty is through education. You may give them, you know, some food to eat, they will eat it, they will be hungry tomorrow. You may give them clothing, they will wear the clothing, their clothes will run out, will finish, you know, will be used up. But if you give people in Haiti an education, that's the best way to help them. Those girls, they only need 4 years of schooling. After 4 years, that next year, we're going to have 35 nurses that's going to help the Haitian people. So apart from the nursing school that we started in Haiti, there is something that we do every year. This is the medical mission. Haiti is, I don't know how to describe the healthcare in Haiti. You know, we have one hospital in the city, in Port-au-Prince. This hospital, if you go there, like if you want IV fluids, you have to go across the street and buy your IV fluid. You better do that, otherwise you won't have it. If you want medication, the hospital doesn't provide you medication. You better run and buy your medication, like your family will buy your medication for you. So many people doesn't go to the doctors. They stay at home. They go to the doctor if they are very, very sick. That's the only way they go to the doctor. So every year, this is Mrs. Ronnie looking at you right there. She went with us in that medical mission. So you better go. The only way people go to the doctors is when they are pretty sick. So last year, when we go to that medical mission, we saw 300 people in one day. 300 in one day. People coming from many places to just come, because when we went there, we give free medical care, we give free medication, we hire doctors in the country to serve those people. As you can see, the nurses from the school, the people you see in blue, they are the nursing student. They actually help. Anytime I go for medical mission, they really help us. But you know, after all, Jesus is the one that really teaches us how to serve. The great healer, the great server, he is the one that teaches us how to serve. Now we're going to go in Matthew. Let me see. Matthew chapter 14. This is the feeding of the 5,000. So we're going to go in Matthew chapter 14. So Jesus, our example of service. Okay, we're reading Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed the sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." I love that. You know what I love the most is verse 14. Jesus saw the multitude. He does one thing. He have compassion on them. So do you, when you go, for example, to San Francisco, you know, it's always like amazing me when I'm coming from work at night, because I'm a nurse, I work for Altabit in Berkeley. I'm always looking on the street to see who are there on the street or under the bridges. When I saw those people, you know, I have compassion on them. Jesus saw the multitude and he have compassion on them. You see what the disciple was trying to do? Oh, send the people away in the villages. It's already night. Where do you think those people are going to find bread? You know, sometimes we have this attitude as well. Send them away. I don't have enough. I just have a little bit. Jesus said, you feed them. He's not asking you to go and ask a big organization, oh, call the Red Cross. The Red Cross will feed them. No. Jesus tells to the disciple, you feed them yourself. And I'm so glad the little boy have a little lunch. You mean, it's like, what is that, a little lunch? How many bread? It's about 5 loaves, and it's barley. You know, who like barley anyway? 5 little barley and 2 little fish. So he brought his little things to Jesus. This morning I'm asking you, what do you have in your hands? How can you help? You may see as well say, you know, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough even for my family. You see that little boy in this story? He didn't like to say, I'm giving like 4 of my bread to Jesus. I'm keeping 1 for myself. Oh, I take. He brought everything to Jesus. Because Jesus can multiply things when you bring it to him. That's exactly what happened. You know what happened there? Not only Jesus fed everybody. You know, they didn't count the women and the children. I wonder why. Only the men, 5,000. That means more. Women are more around than men. And children, oh, there are so many. Jesus is showing you, no matter how small your gift, no matter how small is your gift, bring it to him. He will multiply your gift. Whether you have half a bread, put it in that basket. Bring it to Jesus. He will multiply it for you. So I really, really admire the way Jesus teaches us how to serve. So now I just would like to pray for you so that Jesus can give you a heart of service so that we can go around as well and serve people in need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for your love. We praise you for your care. We praise you because you are a great teacher. You teach us how to serve. You tell us in your words that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul. And you told us this is the greatest commandment. And again, you tell us we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Father, we don't have the ability to do those things. There is nothing good in us. We pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. You will equip us for service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, Magdala, thank you so much for your wonderful, powerful testimony and your journey to having your own mission project, your own orphanage and school there in Haiti. And the question that I have is maybe a question that many who are watching have, and that is, how can they bring their lunch and share it with Jesus in Haiti? What kind of needs do you have specifically there with the ministry there in Haiti?
Okay, we have a last slide we're going to ask to, as you can see, the name of it is Vision pour Enfants is in French, but we can call it Vision for Children. So for next year, 2021, we have a building to build a permanent home for the children. Currently, we're renting a home. This home where the children is living right now was damaged by the earthquake. We do some repairing it, but now it's like the children need to be out of that home. We don't want like to have another earthquake or something to shake this home. This home is damaged. So definitely, 2021, we need to replace that home. We need to rebuild. We want to rebuild the orphanage. This is really a crucial need, okay, Pastor, for us to rebuild the orphanage.
And then need number two is a well project.
The need number two is a well project. You know, around the orphanage, we have no water. I remember one of my mission trips, I went to Haiti. We have no water to drink. I went to the community, even water to buy. I didn't have water. I went to bed without water. So what we need to do is a well. We need to do a well not only for the community, but for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the community. The well will be located really close, like 2 minutes from the church. Not only will it be for the community, it will be for the church as well.
Okay. So, and then a nursing school graduation.
So the nursing school graduation, as I show you, we're going to have, praise the Lord, 35 new graduates that are going to serve Haiti. So if you would like to help us, you can go to our website. It's www.visionpourenfants.org. Or you can text me. I am in the bulletin, in the directory. So you can see me there. Or
okay, so there's a couple ways to give. One is to go to your website, which is a French, that's in French, correct?
That's in French.
Okay, so there's your website there. We can see right now on our screens, Vision Pour Infants.
Very nice.
But I didn't pronounce it correctly, so let me hear you say it again.
Vision Pour Enfants.
.org. So that's one option. Go to the website, make a donation that way. Bring a lunch, right?
Bring your lunch. Yes.
Bring your 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, also, you can go to our church website. And there you can go to the giving link and drop down to the tithe envelope. And there we would find an opportunity to choose Vision for Children. And there you can give accordingly, based on the Spirit's movement of your heart. So two ways to give. Certainly, if someone wants to be in touch with you, they can reach out to you privately. But two ways to give. Now, our church website is available. That Vision for Children link will be available tomorrow. And so those are two ways to give. You know, I think about this vision that you have of building a permanent home for the children, a dormitory. That seems so huge. That seems monumental. And that's sort of like maybe how the disciples felt. 15,000 people there, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, you feed the people.
Yourselves. Yeah.
So this is a huge opportunity for us, but God can multiply our gifts. So whatever God puts on your heart and mind, we know that he'll multiply. Thank you so much, Magdalene. Let's have a little prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve and give. And thank you, Lord, for Magdalene's testimony. Lord, her illustration of a life of courage and a life of service, Lord. And we pray that we can also be part of that blessing by giving a portion of what we have, Lord. You've blessed us so much. So, Lord, whatever it is, may you prompt our hearts to give and make a difference in Haiti is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.